It's been hot and fiery for so long now, it's hard to remember that it's only July, and there's a lot of summer left. Today and for several more weeks, we visit with independent bookstores for a segment we call Summer Reads. This week, we check in with Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah in the person of Tony Wheeler. Tony, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Okay, we got you potted up now.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So thanks again for joining us. How's the last year been? I think we did talk to you last summer, and it was interesting the way people rallied around local bookstores.
Yes. We actually have been busy all the way through. We did close. I think when we spoke, we had reopened. We did close for about 10 weeks last year. We reopened last May, and we've been really strong the whole time. So the county is doing fairly well, I think, and our communities. Yes, as you say, rallying around independent businesses of all kinds.
Glad to hear that. So bookstores and everybody else, too.
Yeah.
So interesting list that you have for us with quite a bit of variety here, starting off with The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave, is it?
Yes, Laura Dave, right. Mm-hmm. And I realized when I was putting my list together how many mysteries I had on here, but mm-hmm. They're all quite different. This one is a mystery. It's not a murder mystery. It's a missing person mystery. Laura Dave writes really strong family relationship novels. Her other one that I've read recently was 800 Grapes, set in the Sonoma County wine country, family and relationships, and she writes that really well. So it has those elements. The suspense and the mystery is a missing husband, a newly married woman. Her husband has a teenage daughter who's very resentful of that marriage, and she's trying to build that relationship. And out of nowhere, her husband disappears, and she starts trying to delve into what could have happened and finds all kinds of surprises and shocks and unsavory details about his past that were completely hidden from her. So,
based on what you told us so far, I immediately suspect the daughter.
Well, you'll have to read the book.
And so, is Laura Dave? Is she a fairly prolific mystery writer?
No, she's actually. I think this particular novel is her first mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Her other novels were, as I said, family relationship, mm-hmm. Strong community stories, and she is a Northern California writer. 800 Grapes was set in Sonoma County. The Last Thing He Told Me is set in Sausalito, with a little side trip to Austin, Texas. So it's familiar to me, which is nice, familiar to Northern California readers.
Mysteries seem to be a real obvious choice for a summer read. I mean, is it just because they're somewhat lighter? They're just sort of a little mind exercise or something?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing and engaging without being too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, I've noticed that it seems like some authors feel insulted if you call their book a beach read.
Oh, no, yeah, I guess.
So let's see. Second on the list is The Thursday Murder Club. And
yes.
So this is a murder mystery, obviously.
This is a murder mystery, yeah. This one, it came out about almost a year ago. I think it was September last year. And I had been looking at it on the shelf and thinking, oh, it looks interesting. I finally decided to read it and just kind of fell into it. It's just wonderful. It's a cast of characters who are retired British. It's set in England, in Kent, in the countryside, in a retirement community. The characters are all retired from various and sundry professions. They have the usual clubs, the bridge club and the knitting club and so on, gardening club. And one little group of people decides to get together with their local police department and start looking at cold cases, just as, intellectual puzzles. And they just stumble into an actual, real, current situation. The British humor, the subtlety of it, the wry, dry humor is just charming. And the characters are fantastic. You just want them to be your friends. All of us here at the bookstore read it, and we all just agreed, this is where we want to retire to. We want to go there.
Okay, so everybody on board for Kent. Let's go.
Yes, let's go to Kent. And his second novel in the series, called The Man Who Died Twice, is due out in September, and we're all just kind of champing at the bit for that one.
I think I've heard that title already.
Yeah.
It must be really awaited.
Yeah.
So I need to ask you then, just in general terms, though, about the list of six books here. So is this you and staff, rest of staff?
Most of these are myself. I think the only one that I didn't read myself, actually, is the Carl Hiaasen,
mm-hmm.
but I'm familiar with his writing, and it's been a really popular one. The Thursday Murder Club is unusual. All of us, we kind of passed it around. It took each of us about about a day and a half to read it. It was just like a page turner.
Wow.
And we were all just so enthusiastic. And other people that we know, you know, a friend of mine, another frequent bookstore customer, just like, yes, this is great. Where's the next one?
Give me the other one now. Yeah,
I'm yeah, yeah, right.
The Man Who Died Twice is the next one.
Richard Osman, right.
Okay. Tony Wheeler, our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange from Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah in this week's edition of Summer Reads. So now we move from mystery to fantasy for a bit for the Wolf and the Woodsman by Ava Reed.
Yes, yes. And I'm very much a fan of fantasy. I grew up reading the Tolkien books, and I read the Harry Potter series when it came out with my kids, and a lot of the older fantasy series like the Mary Stuart Crystal Cave series and the young adult Lloyd Alexander Chronicles of Prydain, which is, you know, a longtime classic. This one is right in that genre, and along with Naomi Novik's two standalone novels that draw on folklore and fairy tales and you know, old stories. So The Wolf and the Woodsman actually pulls from Hungarian folklore, Jewish history. Her world building is great. She's created a culture with a lot of different layers, a lot of different populations of people. The main character, Ivica, is a pagan from a village way, way, way remote from the capital city. And in her village, the women, as they mature, develop supernatural powers, magic powers. And Ivica is unique in that she did not. So she's a bit of an outcast in her community. And when the king's woodsmen come to the village to collect their annual sacrifice, she is given up by her village to be the sacrifice. She's sent away. And then it turns out that her escort, Gaspar, is also a bit of an outcast, and as they get closer and closer to the capital city, it's clear that his life is in as much danger as hers is. And so they have this complete enmity. They are bitter, bitter enemies to begin with, and just have to rely on each other to survive. So it's a world building, and it's a lot of great mythology and folklore, really strong characters, really, really strong development of the different parts of the culture and the community.
You mentioned Naomi Novik. We recently talked about Deadly Education and the Sholomance series.
Yes, your guest last week or the week before, and I haven't read that one yet.
Okay, it's just interesting to me, though, the level of detail that gets built up in some of these fantasy worlds. I mean, it's not just that you have to get used to the characters and the settings, but also physical properties, magic, the things that people can do to each other are very different in some of these worlds and quite detailed.
Yes, and this one has a lot of, you know, there's magic and there's witchcraft, and there are curses and there are spells, and those, you know, a lot of authors can rely on that to move the plot forward, and these are just kind of incidental. It's part of the world. This one and, you know, some of the other good ones, you know, you're really relying on the character development and the relationships between them and the communities and cultures that are built up. So it's fun.
Tony Wheeler's with us on the Jefferson Exchange for Summer Reads. She's from Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah. We move on to Why Fish Don't Exist by Lulu Miller.
Yeah, I think one of the best titles in a long time. And Lulu Miller is, a lot of people know her from Radiolab and This American Life. She's a science journalist. She is also a short story writer, fiction writer, as well as a nonfiction writer. She is a storyteller. She can spin a yarn even when her topic is biography or memoir or a scientific exploration. And in this book, she has focused on the career of David Starr Jordan, who was the first president of Stanford University. But she comes to that from her own life experience. We hear about her childhood, her early adulthood, her education, her path, what brings her to be interested in him. He was an ichthyologist, and his life's work was finding and identifying as many different species of fish as he could and giving them names. It was a taxonomy project, and he was an ichthyologist. So she came to him through her search for some, you know, solid meaning of life, personal exploration. And she delves into his life, and he starts out seeming like a, you know, very idealistic scientist, and you come to find out that he wasn't such a wonderful person. His career is fairly well known. He was, like I said, the first president of Stanford University. During his career after the death of Leland Stanford, his widow, Jane Stanford, was killed. So the book kind of focuses toward the end. It brings all these threads together and delves into the mystery, which I believe is still unsolved, of Jane Stanford's death. So it's really kind of a fascinating, multi-layered, multi-textual story, and just fascinating. It's another one that just pulled me right in. And I don't normally read nonfiction in that way. So
right, yeah, this is, yeah, it's got a lot of detail to it and a lot of interesting.
Yeah, and by the way, the illustrations in this book are wonderful. They're like woodcut looking almost, just beautiful nature illustrations and kind of fantastical drawings. So her illustrator is wonderful too. I'm sorry I don't have that person's name, but they're terrific.
So From Fish to the Sea, Sunrise by the Sea by Jenny Colgan is the next item on the list.
So Sunrise by the Sea by Jenny Colgan, and she has a couple series of books, and these are what most people would probably think of as typical beach reads or summer reads. I don't think you can have a summer reading list without a book in a seaside community. This one takes place on a little island off the coast of Cornwall, very remote and separated from the mainland. It's a very small community, much like Ukiah. Everybody knows each other. The main character, Marisa, is grieving. She's her Italian grandfather has died. They were very close. And this has hit her hard, and she's retreating and becoming more reclusive. She lives in London, I believe, and is retreating from her family, from her friends, from her work. And she finally travels almost against her will. She goes to live on this island in Cornwall and tries to hide and tries to, you know, work from home, as we all were doing, and just gets drawn in more and more into the community life and what's going on there, and finding connections again. So it's a very gentle story. There is some drama. There is a huge storm that rages through the community, so they all have to pull together and keep the town from washing away in a flood. So it's a very personal relationship-built story, beautiful setting in Cornwall, great characters. It's a lot of fun to read.
A true beach read from a note I have here. From beach to beach. So we finish up with the Carl Hiaasen book you hinted at before, and I read Sick Puppy years ago and was immediately hooked. And so to see Carl Hiaasen on a list is great. This one is called Squeeze Me.
Squeeze Me, yeah. Carl Hiaasen, and you and I have talked before. You know that I grew up in New York, but I also lived in South Florida for 25 years before I came to California. So that's where I became aware of Carl Hiaasen. He's a journalist. He's a serious journalist. He wrote for the Miami Herald for decades. I think he's retired now, but he also writes these murder mysteries, and he also writes a series for kids, which is great, and they have titles like Hoot and Flush, and they're really funny and cute. But his regular mystery series, you mentioned Sick Puppy, and there's Nature Girl and other titles like that. They are based on his observations as a journalist in South Florida. He has... creates in each book a cast of characters that you would think are completely implausible, just the sort of underbelly of society. And every time I talk about Carl Hiaasen with anybody, customer or otherwise, I just say, these are hilarious and ridiculous, and you think it couldn't possibly be true, but he doesn't have to make anything up. It's all what happened. So in this one, it takes place in Palm Beach, and the Palm Beach that we became familiar with as the milieu of the former guy, as we like to say. Society matron disappears and is found dead. The president makes some crazy pronouncement about her death and sends everybody off on wild goose chases. We get pythons, which is where the title comes from, Squeeze Me. So there's a wildlife python wrangler and a cast of the usual very implausible but quite real South Florida characters.
Oh, yeah, the python's very appropriate. Anybody who's keeping up with what's going on in the Everglades.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, the people get pythons and other creatures like that as pets, and then they let them go. So the Everglades are full of things that shouldn't be there.
Okay, so let me go back to the list again. Squeeze Me by Carl Hiaasen, Sunrise by the Sea by Jenny Colgan, Why Fish Don't Exist by Lulu Miller of Radiolab and Invisibilia fame, The Wolf and the Woodsman by Ava Reed, The Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman, and The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave on the list from Tony Wheeler at Mendocino Book Company in Ukiah. Tony, thanks again for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.